Good evening and welcome to the March 11th, 2024 legislative session of the Salisbury City Council. In the event of an emergency, please remain calm and exit through the double doors to my left. If those doors are blocked, please exit through the door to my right by pulling the fire alarm located to the right of the door under the monitor. Please let us know if you need any assistance. At this time, I would like to direct everyone's attention to the meeting procedures sheet that is attached to the agendas and included as the first page of the agenda packets. Just want to highlight a few items. That if you wish to speak on more than one agenda item or subject, please list all that apply on the comment forms. If you determine you would like to speak on an additional item after turning in your form, please fill out another form and turn it into the clerk. If you approach the podium more than once during the same meeting, you are not required to state the information such as your name, whether you're a resident of the corporate limits of Salisbury, and any organization you are affiliated to. Be sure to print your email address legibly on the form to receive a response to a question you have. And the intention of this council is to hold organized and professional meetings. We would like everyone to have a chance to speak, but it must be done respectfully. Interrupting, outbursts, and noncompliance of these procedures will not be tolerated. Thank you so much for your cooperation. At this time, we ask you to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we'll call for a moment of silence. Thank you. We do ask that you keep your thoughts with Councilwoman Jackson. She is feeling under the weather, and we do hope that she returns with us next week. We'll move on to the presentations portion of this meeting. We'll have our first read by Mayor Randy Taylor for Endometriosis Awareness Month.
Thank you. Whereas the Endometriosis Association is a nonprofit charitable organization that was founded in 1980 with the intent of bringing awareness to the underserved and misunderstood population of women who suffer from endometriosis, which affects an estimated 200 million women worldwide, the equivalent of one in every 10 women. Whereas there's no cure for endometriosis, it is thought to be hereditary. Its cause is not known. Thankfully, there are many treatments and management options available which can greatly improve patients' quality of life. And whereas endometriosis can only be diagnosed through laparoscopic surgery and often takes an average of about 10 years to receive a diagnosis, medical professionals frequently are inadequately educated on the diagnosis and treatment of endometriosis. And whereas patients with this illness often must learn to live with widespread pain throughout their bodies, extreme fatigue, infertility, emotional and mental issues, as well as autoimmune disorders. And whereas endometriosis can be present in young women and children as young as 8 years of age, which poses unique challenges for this population who suffer not only from the symptoms of the disease, but both the lack of understanding and the social acceptance of it as well. And whereas people with endometriosis can face severe emotional and mental issues such as depression and anxiety, which is why they cannot get through it alone. And whereas endometriosis is a horrible disease physically, emotionally, and mentally, showing compassion and understanding to each other is the one way to provide hope and to give those suffering from the disease a reason to keep fighting. And whereas the Endometriosis Association introduced Endometriosis Awareness Month in March of 1993 and now observed worldwide through a variety of activities, which include educational opportunities, fundraising, marches, and free distribution of popular yellow ribbons and brochures. And whereas the Endometriosis Association local support group, Endo Warriors of the Eastern Shore, and other groups around the country have joined together to promote endometriosis awareness and support through improved education, diagnosis, research, and treatment, because better understanding this disease will help guarantee hope for a better future for all who suffer from it. Therefore, I, Randolph J. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Salisbury, do hereby proclaim March 2024 as Endometriosis Awareness Month.
And I believe we have Shannon online. If she'd like to make a couple remarks,
that would be appreciated.
First and foremost, I just want to say thank you for supporting Endometriosis Awareness Month. The City of Salisbury has supported us for the past 3 years, and I am extremely grateful. The first year, I kind of explained what endometriosis was. The second year, I told my story about infertility and how I had lost a baby. And last year, it was basically based on how endometriosis is a whole body disease. It affects you mentally, emotionally, physically. This year, my main goal is for people to advocate for themselves. Endometriosis is not listed yet as an autoimmune disorder. While it is an autoimmune disorder, they're still working on that. It has many autoimmune disorders that are associated with it, including Crohn's, rheumatoid arthritis, MS, everything like that. I, this year, have been diagnosed with Crohn's, which is why I'm not there tonight. I have had to go to the hospital every month for the past 7 months, and I end up staying there 3 or 4 days for them to get my Crohn's under control. Basically, when the endometriosis flares, it makes my Crohn's flare. One of the times that I went, I had an emergency room doctor walk in, and he sat down in the chair. He didn't ask me if I was okay. He didn't ask me why I was there. He basically just told me endometriosis was not painful and it was not an emergency condition. And I kind of sat there for a minute because I was really taken back by his comments, because I wasn't even there for my endometriosis, but I told him that it was very much an emergency situation, and it was extremely painful, and that I hoped he never had a daughter that had it, because I wouldn't wish that pain on anyone. When he walked out of the room, it took me back to being 16 years old when the doctors wouldn't listen to me, when I attempted to commit suicide because of that. And then I got really angry, because then I thought about all of my nieces, which is the whole reason I started this organization. It is unacceptable for a doctor to speak to anyone that way. It's unacceptable for a doctor to look down on you when they don't know about the disease. I would rather you ask questions than just assume that you know what's going on. So it is extremely important for everyone to advocate for themselves. And I am so grateful that the City of Salisbury is backing me and every woman in your community who has endometriosis. It is a family disease, so even the ones that love us and take care of us, you are supporting them, and I can honestly tell you that that means so much to all of us. I get comments and messages all the time about how much they appreciate knowing that they have support from their community. I'm having my third annual Yellow Day this Friday the 15th. And I would greatly appreciate if everyone would wear yellow. You can tag my Facebook group, which is Endo Warriors of the Eastern Shore. And I just want to turn the entire Eastern Shore yellow so that we can show these women and young girls that they are not alone, because there are still girls fighting for diagnoses and doctors don't know what's going on. So we need to keep fighting, and we need to keep talking about it. And even though it is uncomfortable to talk about infertility or menstrual cycles or painful intercourse, it's very important that we discuss these issues, because I don't want any of your daughters or nieces or granddaughters to go through what I and so many other women have. So I just want to say thank you so much for your support.
Great. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And originally, we had a certificate of recognition
slated for the Waihai girls basketball team, but since they have since advanced again to the state level, we'll hold off on that, and we await their game on Wednesday for them to hopefully advance again. So we'll just keep piling up their recognitions to not have them continue to come to the council meetings. So at this time, can I have a motion and a second to adopt the legislative agenda?
So moved. Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye.
On the consent agenda this evening, we have some meeting minutes for you. We have January the 22nd. Do you want to speak louder, Chris?
If you could just start over for me, please. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So on the consent agenda this evening, we have some meeting minutes. First is January the 22nd, 2024, closed session meeting minutes. We have February the 12th, 2024, council meeting minutes. February the 20th, 2024, work session minutes. And finally, February the 26th, 2024, council meeting minutes.
Thank you. Could I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Could I have a motion and a second to approve resolution number 3333, recognizing and remembering racial injustice and apologizing to the families and descendants of the victims of lynchings that occurred in the city?
So moved.
Second.
Whereas the city of Salisbury acknowledges and condemns the lynchings of victims, and whereas there are three documented lynchings involving black men in Salisbury, Maryland, and whereas on May 31st, 1898, a white mob numbering over 100 broke into county jail in Salisbury and kidnapped an 18-year-old black male named Garfield King, accused of murdering a white man, Mr. King was taken to the Wicomico Courthouse Long, hung from a tree, and reportedly his body was shot 50 times. No one was ever officially identified as being part of the mob. And whereas on December the 4th, 1931, a white mob numbering several hundred to upwards of 1,000 individuals kidnapped a 23-year-old black male named Matthew Williams from the Negro Ward at the Peninsula General Hospital. Mr. Williams was accused of the murder of his employer, a white man named Daniel Elliott, after being tortured and hung on the Wicomico County Courthouse. His body was dragged through the nearby black neighborhood and then set afire in a vacant lot. Through a grand jury investigation led no one being officially identified as being part of the mob that lynched Mr. Williams, a secret investigation authorized by then-Governor Albert Ritchie was undertaken by an undercover Pinkerton detective named Patsy Johnson. Through the course of this investigation, the names of several prominent white community members were identified as being involved in the conspiracy to lynch Mr. Williams and enforce community silence. Most relevant to the city of Salisbury, the then police chief, Nicholas H. Holland, helped lead the mob from the city to the courthouse, and then the fire chief, Frederick Greer, provided the mob with a rope used to hang Mr. Williams. And whereas in the hours following the racial lynching of Mr. Williams, an unknown middle-aged black male, hereafter referred to as unknown, was found beaten to death, presumably by either members of the same white mob that had lynched Mr. Williams or by a similar one. In 2017, the Equal Justice Initiative acknowledged unknown as a racial lynching victim. And whereas the aforementioned facts were gleaned from the following sources: The Silent Shore, The Lynching of Matthew Williams, and The Politics of Racism in the Free State, John Hopkins University Press, Equal Justice Initiative of 2017, Lynching in America, Confronting the Legacy of Racial Terror, Mob Law on Delmarva, and I Feel S. 1994 on the Courthouse Lawn, Revised Edition, Beacon Press. And whereas The mayor and council of the city of Salisbury believes that racial injustice must be acknowledged and remembered before society can heal from wounds of the past and build mutually respectful relations across the ethnic lines. Now, therefore, it be it resolved that mayor and council of the city of Salisbury desire to publicly acknowledge the lynchings that occurred in the city and to offer a formal apology to the families and descendants of the victims of the lynchings involving the known descendants of Mr. King, LaTanya Christopher, Cynthia Polk, and the known descendants of Mr. Williams, Jeannie Jones. The above resolution was introduced and read and passed at the regular meeting of Council of the City of Salisbury held this day, 11th of March, and is therefore effective immediately upon adoption.
Thank you. All those in favor of resolution number 3333, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Could I have a motion and a second to approve resolution number 3334, proposing the annexation to the city of Salisbury of a certain area of the land contiguous to and binding upon the corporate limits of the city of Salisbury to be known as 2407 North Salisbury Boulevard, J.D. Oliver's LLC annexation.
So moved.
Second.
Resolution number 3334, a resolution of the Council of the City of Salisbury proposing the annexation to the City of Salisbury of a certain area of land contiguous to and binding upon the corporate limits of the City of Salisbury to be known as 2407 North Salisbury Boulevard, J.D. Oliver LLC annexation, being at the same point from the corner of the existing corporate limits line of the City of Salisbury, Maryland, lying along the east side of the North Salisbury Boulevard, said corner being the northernmost corner of the annexation parcel and running thence in a clockwise direction around the perimeter of the affected property to the point of beginning being all that the real property identified as tax map 29 parcel 158 together with additional areas of land owners by others, number one, tax map 119 parcel 237 parcel 3, Cross Lake LLC, number two, tax map 119 parcel 237 parcel B, Salisbury Mall Realty Holdings, LLC, and three, tax map 119, parcel 237, lot 4, Salisbury Mall Realty Holdings, LLC. Whereas the City of Salisbury has received a petition for annexation dated March 8, 2023, attached hereto as Exhibit 1 and incorporated by reference as a fully set forth herein, signed by at least 25% of the persons who are resident registered voters in the persons who are to be annexed binding upon the corporate limits of the City of Salisbury to be known as 2407 North Salisbury Boulevard, J.D. Oliver Annexation, beginning at the same point from the corner of the existing corporate limits line of the City of Salisbury, Maryland, lying along the east side of the North Salisbury Boulevard, and said corner being the northwesternmost corner of the annexation parcel and running thence in a clockwise direction around the perimeter of the affected property to the point beginning being all that real property identified as tax map 28, parcel 158, less together with additional areas of land owners by others. Number one, tax map 119, parcel 237, parcel 3, Cross Lake LLC. Number two, tax map 119, parcel 237, parcel B, Salisbury Mall Realty Holdings, LLC. And three, tax map 119, parcel 237, lot 4, Salisbury Mall Realty Holdings, LLC, and further be the same real property, more particularly described in the property description attached hereto as Exhibit 2, and incorporated as if fully set forth herein. And whereas the City of Salisbury has caused to be made a certification of the signatures on the said petition with annexation, and the City of Salisbury has verified that the person signing the petition represent at least 25% of the persons who are eligible voters and property owners earning 25% of the assessed valuation of real property in the area to be annexed, all as of February 28, 2024, as set forth in the certification by Leslie Sherrill, surveyor of the City of Salisbury, attached hereto as Exhibit 3 and incorporated by reference as if fully set forth herein. And whereas it appears that the aforementioned petition for annexation dated March 8, 2023, meets all the requirements of applicable state and local law, and whereas pursuant to Maryland Code Local Government 4-406, a public hearing on this resolution provided for the City of Salisbury annexation of the property as set forth herein shall be and hereby is scheduled for April 22nd, 2024 at 6 p.m. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Council of the City of Salisbury as follows. Section 1, it is proposed and recommended that the municipal boundaries of the City of Salisbury be changed so that as to annex to and include within the said municipal boundaries of the City of Salisbury all the certain real property more particularly described in Exhibit 2, attached hereto and incorporated by reference as a fully set forth herein. Section 2, the annexation of the property be and hereby is approved by the Council and the City of Salisbury subject to all terms, conditions, and agreements contained in the aforementioned property description. The proposed annexation agreement and the annexation plan attached as Exhibits 2, 4, and 5, respectively, each of which is attached hereto incorporated herein as if all such terms, conditions, and agreements contained in exhibits are specifically set forth at length in this resolution. Section 3, the zoning map of the City of Salisbury shall be amended to include the property within the certain zoning districts of the City of Salisbury identified as general commercial, with said real property newly annexed into the corporate limits of the City of Salisbury as contemplated by this resolution is presently zoned C-2 general commercial in accordance with the existing zoning laws of Wicomico County, Maryland. Section 4, pursuant to Maryland Code Local Government 4-406, the Council of the City of Salisbury shall hold a public hearing on the resolution on April 22, 2024 at 6 p.m. in the Council Chambers at the City Salisbury Headquarters located at 115 South Division Street, and the City Administrator shall call as a public notice of time and place of the said public hearing to be published not fewer than two times at not less than weekly intervals in at least one newspaper of general circulation in the City of Salisbury, which said public notice shall specify a time and a place at which the Council of the City of Salisbury will hold the aforesaid public hearing, the date of which shall be no sooner than 15 days after the final required date of publication as specified here above. And then sections 5-8 are boilerplate. That's it.
Thank you. All those in favor of resolution number 3334, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Could I have a motion and a second to approve resolution number 3335, proposing the annexation of plan of a certain area of land contiguous to and binding upon the corporate limits of the City of Salisbury to be known as 2407 North Salisbury Boulevard-JD Oliver LLC annexation.
Sharon, did you say so moved?
Pardon me?
Did you say so moved?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, I'll say it. So moved. Sorry. I thought I was you coughing. Did. I'm sorry. Okay.
Did we get a second? I think we did.
Yeah.
Okay. Michelle, second.
All right, resolution number 3335, a resolution of the Council of the City of Salisbury proposing the annexation to the City of Salisbury of a certain area of land contiguous to and binding upon the corporate limits of the City of Salisbury to be known as 2407 North Salisbury Boulevard, J.D. Oliver, LLC annexation, beginning at the same point from a corner of the existing corporate limits line of the City of Salisbury, Maryland, lying along the east side of the North Salisbury Boulevard, said corner being the northwesternmost corner of the annexation parcel, and running thence in a clockwise direction around the perimeter of the affected property to the point of beginning being all that real property identified as tax map 29, parcel 158, tax map 119, parcel 237, tax map 119, parcel 237, parcel B, and number 3, tax map 119, parcel 237, lot 4. Whereas pursuant to the certain petition for annexation dated March 8, 2023, attached hereto as Exhibit 1 and incorporated by reference as if fully set forth herein, the City of Salisbury proposes the annexation to the City of Salisbury of a certain area of land contiguous to and binding upon the corporate limits of the City of Salisbury to be known as 2407 North Salisbury Boulevard, J.D. Oliver, LLC annexation, beginning at the same point from a corner of the existing corporate limits line of the City of Salisbury, Maryland, lying along the east side of the North Salisbury Boulevard, said corner being the northwesternmost corner of the annexation parcel, and running thence in a clockwise direction around the perimeter of the affected property to the point of beginning being all that real property identified as tax map 29, parcel 158, together with additional areas of land owned by others, number 1, tax map 119, parcel 237, number 2, tax map 119, parcel 237B, and tax map 119, parcel 237, lot 4, and further being the same real property, more particularly described in the property description attached hereto as Exhibit 2, and whereas pursuant to Maryland Code Local Government 4-415, the City of Salisbury is required to adopt an annexation plan for the proposed annexation of the property, and whereas pursuant to Maryland Code Local Government 4-406, a public hearing on this resolution providing for the Council of the City of Salisbury's approval of the annexation plan for the City of Salisbury annexation of the property as set forth herein shall be and hereby scheduled for April 22nd, 2024 at 6 p.m. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Council of the City of Salisbury as follows. Section 1, the annexation plan for the North Salisbury Boulevard annexation to the City of Salisbury attached hereto as Exhibit 3 and incorporated as if fully set forth herein, the annexation plan, being hereby is adopted by for the City of Salisbury annexation of the property as contemplated by this resolution. Section 2, pursuant to Maryland Code Local Government 4-406, the Council of the City of Salisbury shall hold a public hearing on this resolution on April 22nd, 2024 at 6 p.m. in the Council Chambers at the Salisbury headquarters located at 115 South Division Street, and the City Administrator shall cause a public notice of time and place for the said public hearing to be published not fewer than two times at not less than weekly intervals in at least one newspaper of general circulation in the City of Salisbury, which said public notice shall specify a time and place at which the Council of the City of Salisbury will hold aforesaid public hearing, the date of which shall be no sooner than 15 days after the final required date of publication, as specified here above. Sections 3 through 6 are boilerplate. Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favor of resolution number 3335, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Thank you, Mr. Kutzerow. I'd like to invite City Attorney Ashley Bolshe.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Ms. Bolshe. Could I have a motion and a second to approve ordinance number 2858 for second reading?
So moved. I'll second.
Okay.
Ordinance number 2858, this is an ordinance of the City of Salisbury approving a budget amendment of the FY 2024 general fund budget to appropriate funds for the Salisbury Zoo. As you mentioned, this is before you for second reading. There have been no changes or amendments since first reading.
Thank you. All those in favor of ordinance number 2858 for second reading, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye.
Simple tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Michelle. All right, we have now entered the public comments portion of the meeting. Again, each person will be given 4 minutes, and I will call them in order of receipt. Please remember to state your name. If you are a Salisbury resident, please state your address and or your affiliation, your organization that you are affiliated with. And please excuse me, Bill Zalkowski?
Zalkowski.
Yes, if you don't mind.
Okay. I just want to bring to the city's attention.
If you just state your name and your residence.
My name is Bill Zalkowski. I live at 227 Glen Avenue.
Thank you.
And I'm here to speak about street improvements. The City of Salisbury has added a sidewalk that protrudes into Glen Avenue that is a public hazard. Just recently, my vehicle is parked in front of my home, and it was totaled by a driver on Glen Avenue. I'm not here to litigate a traffic accident or anything like that. I just wanted to point out that there is a sidewalk that was just recently added that is a hazard. It causes people to swerve in that area, and there are a lot of children that utilize Glen Avenue. They walk up and down to go to the high schools, to the schools. There's a lot of little children that ride their bicycles on that road. There's a lot of children that go back and forth all the time. There are neighbors and people walking in that area constantly. Is a well-traveled pedestrian route, and this is a hazard. It is a public hazard. And I think it's something that the city should look into addressing.
Thank you so much for your comment. Mike Goldberg.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Mike Goldberg. I reside at 8547 Shadow Lane in Delmar, Maryland. I'm here in the capacity of the public information officer for the Shadow Hills Homeowners Association. As many of you may be aware, the Wicomico County has entered into a contract. In fact, it's a de facto public-private partnership with Livewire LLC to stage off-road events at the Connolly Mills Sand Quarry. This is of great concern to us on many different levels. First of all, it is an umbrella contract. There is no limitation as to the number or types of off-road events that can be held. The first event is scheduled to take place on May 4th and 5th. Furthermore, there is no sunset date on the contract. This could go on, you know, pretty much forever, provided that there's mutual agreement. The Connolly Mill Sand Quarry is situated within the corporate limits of the city of Salisbury, although it is the owner of record is Wicomico County. Therefore, we feel confident that the city of Salisbury's zoning ordinance applies in this case. What are the problems with the contract? Well, first of all, they're very disadvantageous to the county. It is a poorly drafted contract. It leaves Wicomico County open to a multitude of both civil and financial liabilities. Clearly, the county executive failed to do the appropriate due diligence before entering into this contract unilaterally. Be aware that it was a unilateral execution of the contract. Neither the residents of Shadow Hills were informed, nor was the county council informed. So, it's making everybody a little bit upset, needless to say. Our concerns for our community is that if we have recurring events of this nature, which produce high volumes of noise throughout the weekend, that this will have a direct impact on our real estate values. There's going to be traffic impediments, particularly considering that the Delmarva Central Railroad crossing and right-of-way is right there. They've submitted a very poor maintenance of traffic plan that ultimately will result in traffic circulating right through our neighborhood so they can turn around on the cul-de-sacs as they stage to enter the site. There's going to be up to 200 vehicles at any given time. The plan has not been approved by the Wicomico County Sheriff or the town of Delmar, where they will have after events. Now, the land, the quarry is, again, within the corporate limits. It is zoned R8A. This is not a permissible use under the zoning code. We therefore ask the city of Salisbury to prohibit these events insofar as they are a direct violation of the zoning code. And we would further ask that the zoning code be applied equally. Otherwise, at some point in the future, a precedent will have been established, which could prove detrimental to the interests of the city of Salisbury. I would also add that there is an abundance of wildlife on this property. Bald eagles are nesting there. I've witnessed them myself. Foxes, deer. I've seen coyotes, wild turkeys. There is also going to be environmental impacts. They have cleared land to create new trails. They have filled a reservoir, a 22-acre reservoir. There is no security around the site. There are inherent risks that already existed. And we discovered just recently that they actually built a berm with a moat underneath of it. They excavated, filled it with water, and I can just see a 10-year-old boy playing on top of that sand hill and falling face down into that moat, resulting in personal injury or worse. There's a number of potential compliance issues with the Maryland Department of the Environment's corrosion and sediment control statutes, which they are, or codes, I should say, which are presently under investigation. There's also a potential that there are some violations of their mining permit, and I believe there are also some potential violations of regulations promulgated by the Federal Mining Safety and Health Administration. They have also been advised. So we ask that you do everything reasonably possible to block this. We don't deserve to be encumbered with the noise, the traffic, and the devaluation of our properties. And if anyone has any questions, I am glad to address them.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Lisa Gingrich.
Hi, Lisa Gingrich, 316 North Division Street. I also have a comment on both of the closed sessions. Is it okay to talk to them at the same time? The first one is Ann Street Village. Excuse me. This was new that this was going to be something that's coming up, and I see that there's an update on next month's agenda. But I just want to comment, since in here it says contents of a possible proposal, as well as negotiating strategies, I just want to comment that this was a much ballyhooed piece of wonderfulness for the city and for homelessness and all that kind of thing. And I think that the update, I hope, covers why this is even happening. And then the other thing is that this sounds like you're going to block out public discussion of what might be happening to this. This thing, you know, and I would suggest that you don't, that you say, okay, this has come up, this is the current status, this is why we think something needs to be done with it, can we please get input? And then the other thing is talking about the Salisbury Town Center. My concern is that in the notes that I took at the work session, Attorney Patel made a comment that has me concerned, that I believe she was representing the city, and in talking about what the developer is going to be allowed to do and not do, she made the comment, not allow us to build. And who did she mean by us? Because as far as I know, the city's not in the business of developing. And who was she speaking on behalf of at that point? So it might seem like a small thing, but it really had several of us confused as to who she meant when she said us. So that's my comments. And now my head's stuck.
Thank you. Nick Simpson.
I'm Nick Simpson. Here as developer of the Ross and Lot 10. I wanted to start by saying I had a great meeting, a productive meeting with the mayor last week. Regarding Lot 10, and we're excited to see another transformational project in downtown breaking ground in hopefully the near future. And in that vein, we appreciate seeing the subrecipient agreement that is on the agenda for our next meeting and look forward to future discussions as those continue. As many of you know, there's positives to developments that are sometimes overlooked when there's so much negativity. The jobs that are created with the construction, the jobs that are permanent after the structures are in place, redefining and creating neighborhoods and places that we spend our time, expanding our tax base. Some of these parking lots that have been sold off are now paying full freight taxes for the value of the land that's there today. And in a tight year, that matters. And then, of course, unexpected revenues, like with the Ross building, a chronically underutilized parking garage that for decades has never been full, in year one is now already generating to the city over $4,500 a month and will go up to over $120,000 next year, starting in August. Those are the unrealized and untalked about types of impacts and real dollars that are spent here in the city, and we're trying to encourage that. So I hope that as we come close to the horizon deadline and as discussions continue to, I'm sure, heat up, I'd like to remind folks that the Enterprise Zone pays a good portion of the benefit of the Horizon tax credit back to the city from the state for all of the commercial value of the land. So that should be deducted from the amount of reimbursement that the city is actually taking a hit on. And it also matters in attracting and bringing folks to the city who are being asked to invest over $10 million. And those folks can take that money and invest anywhere across the country and take it to any type of investment or any city that is trying to welcome them. So I certainly hope that we continue to be a development-friendly city and continue to see progress that's transparent and well-discussed between all of the stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carolyn Wogelmuth.